On a hot, breezy day in Thompson, Missouri, farmer Ron Flatt bends down in the middle of one of his soybean fields to pull up a plant by its roots. The roots look healthy. His son Brian shows me how to inspect the plant's leaves.
Any insect damage or grasshopper damage is the holes in the leaves. And then obviously you kind of got to look under the leaves for maybe smaller insects that might be beyond the beans.
The plants look good today, but the Flats will continue to scout their fields two times a week until harvest in September.
It's all got to be healthy, and the healthier it is, the more yield we can get, which usually translates more money in our pocket, but more food in the consumer's mouth.
Yield is basically a farmer's output from his or her land. In the past several decades, there's been gradual improvement in soybean yields. Farmers now bring in almost 10 bushels an acre more than they did 30 years ago. But increased demand from China, along with competition from Brazil, are keeping scientists and farmers focused on how to maximize yields. And a recent breakthrough in soybean science may do just that.
I mean, it's amazing to see the explosion, I mean, that's gone on in the plant world.
Jeremy Schmutz is a plant genomicist at the Department of Energy's Joint Genome Institute in California. In 2010, his team completed a roadmap that shows every piece of soybean DNA. If you've heard of the sequence of the human genome, well, this is the sequence of the soybean genome.
And the human genome was really sequenced to be able to sort of raise the bar, make the data available to everybody who wanted to use it. And so really, from the plant side, we're essentially doing the same kind of thing, which is trying to accelerate and improve the resources that are available for people so that they can go in and do the kind of work that you're talking about today.
Work like what's being done at the University of Missouri by plant scientist Melissa Mitchum. Her research team used the soybean genome sequence to help uncover a previously unknown gene that's resistant to a microscopic worm that feeds on the roots of farmers' soybeans. She shows me this worm, called the soybean cyst nematode, in her greenhouse.
If you look closely, you should be able to diagnose this with soybean cyst nematode by observing these little round white balls here, which are the actual females.
Oh.
And those are the female cysts that protrude from the root.
Back in her office, Mitchum says that each year, this worm costs American farmers nearly $1 billion in lost yields.
This identification of soybean genes for resistance to soybean cyst nematode is sort of like one of the breakthroughs in the human disease field, you know, cloning a gene for Parkinson's or Alzheimer's. Okay, the only difference here, we're in soybean plant. But here we've cloned a gene that confers resistance to the major pathogen of soybean.
Other universities are making significant breakthroughs as well, and seed companies are developing new soybean cyst nematode-resistant varieties. Syngenta plans on putting a new one on the market in 2015, says Scott Erickson, who works in the company's soybean genetics division.
So we can unlock some of these possibilities that are available in the genetics of these crops we work with. We're essentially making better use of the land that's in production and reducing the demand on additional land, additional water, additional resources that might have to go into that crop.
Back in Thompson, Missouri, Ron Flatt says he and other soybean farmers are eager to see this research translate to their fields.
The technology is changing, and one of the reasons it has to is because of the world population and the demand for food, like down the road, it's increasing every day. And so we're going to have this increased production.
But maximizing soybean yields may need to happen sooner rather than later. New research from the University of Minnesota indicates that even the current growth in crop yields will be insufficient to feed the world by 2050. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Abby Fentress-Swanson.